Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, in the interest of transparency, given it as the theme of the day, I have to declare that my next guest is somebody who I regard as a very good and trusted friend, who's always welcome in my house, and I'm delighted to say I've been welcomed in hers on many occasions as well. She has written her life story, life, work, everything. Miriam O'Callaghan, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word.
Oh, it's a privilege. Lovely to be here, Matt.
Thank you. Now, given that we are talking about transparency, I suppose I'm going to go in with the hard one maybe first.
Go.
A little bit. How difficult is it for you as a current affairs broadcaster to deal with the fact that your brother was earlier this year made Minister for Justice and is part of a government that you have to cover as part of your job?
It's actually about four paragraphs of my book. I really tackle this head on because, Matt, for me, this is a red line feminist issue, as I write. I have built up through hard work, mainly hard work, a bit of talent, a glorious career. And the patriarchy is dead. The idea that a man, any man, I don't care who he is, any man, including my brother, would have my career scrapped because of their career choices. Boys, the patriarchy is over. Manana Héireann, rule the roost.
But if he was to become Taoiseach, leader of Fianna Fáil and Taoiseach, as is...
It's really simple. I just won't interview him. My mother would love it, but I just won't... It's just really quite simple.
I never actually thought of it as a patriarchy issue. I just thought of it as
100%
maybe...
100% is.
Do you think so?
It's about... First of all, I have to say, only a few people and never anyone in RT or never anyone in the street would suggest it. But the idea that a woman, any woman, Matt, in 2025, that their career could be dismissed with a click of the hands because in some way a man's career, whoever that man is more important than me. And also, secondly, I would say, read my book. I rant about it. The idea then, when you get over the red line feminist issue, which is what it is, by the way, the idea then that I'm so low in moral fibre that I would suddenly lose all the objectivity that I have built my career upon.
No, I was probably more looking at it like, even if it was two siblings who were two brothers, that there might be people who would wonder, is there...
It's a woman and a man. It's the patriarchy, Matt. It's 2025, lads. The patriarchy's dead.
Okay. Well, anyway, I was actually very amused the other night when you did tell a story at your book launch about how your mother, whenever there's a WhatsApp group, and even though you've been on the television, I think you said about 32 million times, that whenever your brother Jim is on the television, she fires off a message to everyone, oh, look, Jim is on the telly. And I was very close to saying, well, he might be on the telly an awful lot more in the future now.
Now, do you know what's so sweet? My mum is amazing, Matt. She's 97.
And she's extraordinary.
She was a school headmistress and she still lives alone in the home we grew up in Cornell's Court. But yeah, she's one son and she had four daughters. And I'm sorry, mothers and their sons. She literally loves us all. But the minute Jim is on the telly, I've been on it 32 million years. She'd go, Jim's on the telly, quick. And we're all going, seriously, Mum? But I love her. She loves
How important do you think has it been, though, to your upbringing and to your ability to connect with people that you're the child of rural parents, in that you actually have an understanding of Ireland beyond south side of Dublin?
100%, Matt. So my dad came from a small farm. It's still there. My first cousin farms it in Curragh in County Kerry, not far out of Castle Island. And he grew up, and I write about this, and not that long ago, like my great-grandmother, his grandmother, they were incredibly poor, Matt. Like, it's not that long ago, certainly in my family, maybe your family too, we came from nothing. And I have huge respect for my father and the generations that went before him. Like, he couldn't afford to go to university. So like that generation, he got a job in the civil service and rose the ranks. And he just worked hard. And we all went to free schools. But he just believed in giving his children everything. I think it's everything about me. And my mum is from Laois, and her father was a Garda sergeant. And he fought with Micah Collins's West Limerick Brigade. Very Fine Gael, can I just say.
How did Jim end up in Fianna Fáil if you come from the Fine Gael tradition?
I know. My mother wasn't that happy about that, I have to tell you, Matt. So there's lots of different parties in my blood.
And how interested in politics were you when you were growing up and into early adulthood, given that you studied to be a lawyer and qualified, and then you ended up researching on the This Is Your Life programme from Eamon Andrews in England? Where did the interest in politics come along?
I don't know really, Mal. I don't reflect enough on my life. I know I've written my memoir, which was probably one of the reasons I thought it'll take me so long to ever dream of writing it. I don't know. Yeah, I went into law at GCD because my mother's child minding tactic was throw us all into national school at 3.5. So I went into law in GCD, went to Blackall Place, became a solicitor. I think my dad, he was a civil servant, and my mum, they didn't really discuss politics. Obviously, they were different parties. She came from a Fine Gael background. He came from a Fianna Fáil / Republican. A lot of my relations in Kerry would have voted Sinn Féin. And also they would have voted locally for Dick Spring. But I don't know where it came from, Matt. I just don't know.
I don't get the impression that you are, maybe to use the expression, a political nerd. You're not sort of actually bound on who's going to get the first preferences and the transfers and things like that.
You would be right there, Matt.
Yeah, but I think that stands to you in the sense as well, you're actually interested in the issues and how they affect people, and maybe interested in finding out about the personalities who are making those decisions that are relevant to people's lives.
I think that's so true. Like somebody probably like yourself or even Dave McCullough, I used to work with, like, you'll know the minutiae of who's going to get in on the third count. That's not either my forte or my interest, but exactly that. I'm interested in why issues are led by some people, what makes certain politicians tick, why do some issues prove so intractable, like housing. I'm interested from the issues point of view rather than the minutiae of political life.
But yet you're really interested in people. And I suppose this really has come across in things like the Saturday Night TV show that you used to do. You're a Sunday morning radio programme all the time, which rarely, if ever, delves into politics. You have this interest in people and their lives.
Yeah, but you do too. I mean, I think people are endlessly interesting. And whenever someone is in my studio, most people have a backstory, Matt. Most people have layers of ups and downs. And I love tapping into those. And I find that's a real privilege, actually, because none of us are as we absolutely appear. And most of us are kind of complicated. So I love knowing people's backstories. I always say, what's the backstory? What's the backstory?
Well, I have to say, in fairness to you, for knowing you, you're always more interested in other people than you are in yourself, which I think really stands to you. Well, there's an awful lot of broadcasters who are more interested in themselves and telling people all about themselves. And you're not.
That's not my stature. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm a great person. It's just I am interested in hearing what other people have to say. I kind of don't really like talking about myself
and
either.
And yet you've written a book.
I know! Well, I did get a contract 20 years ago. It took a while, Matt, to write it.
Why did it take the time?
It's a very good question, because I have asked myself that. I think, first of all, and primarily, I felt I couldn't write it without, in some way, hurting people. And I never wanted to hurt people. That's not in my DNA. I have a big family. I have a shared life. I was married before. I didn't want to throw grenades into other people's lives. I have siblings, you know, and it's hard because it's my version of a shared life. And other people might have not agreed with my memory, but I worked really hard to not be mean to anyone. I want to go through my life hurting nobody.
And you think you've succeeded so far, do you?
Well, is it for me to say, but look.
Well, you have to look at yourself and see, have I done things that intentionally or unintentionally have hurt others?
I honestly don't think I have. And like even at the Late Late Show last Friday, it was lovely. I have 4 children living away. All of my 8 children came and my mother was there and we did a photograph and it went kind of viral. And like, it's hard even bringing up children, Matt, to make them like you, or and I feel that's a real achievement for me. That's my idea of my success in life.
8 children. This is something that comes up on a regular basis, because that might have been a standard Irish family of the early 20th century, but not of the late 20th century and early 21st century, which brings up the question, what were you thinking?
I just wasn't thinking, Matt. That was the thing. But, you know, the funny thing is, I had 4 girls. And then Tom, my first husband, had 2 children from a previous relationship. And so I had 6 really, and got on great with everyone. But then my marriage broke up, and then I met a lovely new guy, Steve, and he was a brilliant stepdad. But I thought, oh, he deserves one of his own. But as my mother says, did you have to have 4 more? But I'm so glad I did. And, you know, they talk about blended families, Matt, but they all get on so well. They were all brought up together. I co-parented the girls with Tom. It worked. And I'm still really close to Tom's daughter, Leisha, who still remains, in my mind, my daughter. Because I do think the problem is when marriages break up, there can be so much collateral damage. I didn't want that. I wanted their grandparents, Tom's parents, everyone's parents, aunts, uncles to be involved. And it worked.
But then how did you manage it all while developing a career in RT? Because it's not just developing the career in RT. It's one that we just had very difficult working hours, in the sense of being on air in the evening time, late in the evening, and often getting called away for weekend work and whatever. So how difficult was that in relation to bringing up a family?
Not at all difficult. It was called childcare. I always laugh at these celebs who go around and look like they're doing it all themselves. I have had brilliant childcare all my life. Originally 2 women, Lorraine and Bridget, and then just Lorraine after that. They were both amazing. I spent all my money on childcare. I don't need expensive shoes. I can get gorgeous shoes that are cheap. I don't buy expensive clothes. I spend my money on childcare and face creams.
My face creams?
Because I'm always, I had a lovely godmother, and she was married to my mother's brother, and she was a beautician, and she told me years ago when I was about 16, mind your skin, Miriam. She was my aunt, my godmother. And I just always did, I don't know. My bedside table was full of potions and lotions.
Good investment, so.
Woohoo, yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about RTE, because one of the things that you write about in the book is the controversy that happened during the time when COVID restrictions were in place and there was a going away party. Tell
reception
us a little bit
gate,
of reception.
As I call it.
Okay.
Actually, there's a funny start to it. It wasn't a funny story, but I got a phone call in my car just about a week before the story, or the day before the story broke in the Sun, and it was Laura Fitzgerald, my publicist in RT. I always call my great publicists firefighters, because by and large, they're putting out fires.
So you publicists in RT, do you?
Yeah.
Oh God, we must get some of them in here.
Oh, they're amazing, actually. But she rang me, and I pulled over, in fact, because I didn't have my hand free. And she says, Miriam, I need to talk to you about Phil Collins. I went, Phil Collins, Genesis. Did I interview him before? I don't even like his music. I said, what about Phil Collins? She says, well, there's some photographs that have appeared of you and Phil Collins on the RT Facebook retirement page. I thought, oh, Phil Collins from Genesis, me. What is this about? And she said, Phil from TV reception. I didn't know her name was Collins. Long story short, Matt, it was during COVID. I had been doing a radio show that morning, recording it. I was presenting prime time. I walked from my dressing room through television reception to get a cup of coffee in the canteen. And a very nice woman who was retiring on the day and had been very kind to me when my sister died. I'd known her about 30 years, said, Miriam, it's my last day. Could I have a photograph? And I took a photograph with her, one photograph. But the mistake was I took off my mask because I thought, what's the point in her having this in a few years with a face mask on? I shouldn't have done it. But it was the worst crisis in my career because it was during COVID. It went huge. It went viral. It looked like I was partying in RT. As I said, I was walking through TV reception. I could have said, no, Phil, I won't do a photo.
But that wouldn't have been you.
Well, that's kind of me praising myself. But
no,
really,
but it wouldn't have been you.
I would, and her, like, there were family there of hers. Am I really going to say no? I'm not going to do a photo. But anyway, it became huge and it ended up, like, I got interviewed by the Gardaí, 2 guards in RT, 2 detectives about it. It was so surreal. In the end, they concluded there had not been a gathering or a party or whatever. But it was the most stressful moment of my career because it went viral. And the perception was that I was parting, which wasn't the case. But you just can't, when you're explaining you're losing in the middle of a crisis.
Well, indeed. But what about the perception that among some people has developed in recent years that there's a sort of an elitism about RTE, which has perhaps been exacerbated by what's known as the Ryan Tubridy affair? How difficult can it be to be in that sort of public eye when people have perceptions of RT which you might not agree with?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I hear what you're saying, but I can only talk about my experience with Irish people. And I have never found them like that towards me. They will ask me questions about it. They make up their own minds about people. So they never come up to me to dump on RTE. They're always very nice, Matt. And I'm being honest. Like, I tell you the truth.
But the majority of people are very nice face to face. It's the people who go online, though, in particular, who might not be as nice towards you.
Yeah,
or RTE, I should say more.
Yeah, that's probably true. And look, no one and no organisation is perfect. But I know from, say, Prime Time or just my radio show, Sunday with Miriam, most people are like the people here. They're really hardworking. They do their very best. I think the BBC, where I used to work, my husband used to work, it gets a similar attack. I think it's because if it's a big, huge organisation and you are getting taxpayers' money, they feel, and I like the fact, they feel they own it and therefore they have a right to have views in it. The online trolls, my own view is, X is very tricky now. I stay on it. I mute everyone. They don't know they're muted. And because it's good for news. But I do think people should have to give their name. I do not think the big companies should be allowed to get away with allowing people to be anonymous. And a lot of women get misogyny online, and I'm part of that.
I'm going to come back to RT in a moment because I just want to stay on this thread because you took an action against Facebook as well, didn't you?
I did.
For quite cynically allowing fraudulent behaviour to exist online using your name and your face.
I know. At first, you see, I don't take things seriously enough, Matt, in life. So people used to come up to me and say, oh, I'm buying your face cream. And I go, I don't have a face cream. But this went on
for
ages.
But in terms of what we said earlier, maybe you should have.
Actually, it sold so well. My friends say, you should start a face cream. But anyway, long story short, and the clickbait to get people to pay €200 for my cream was they'd say, Miriam fell out of the studio once again, drunk and stuff, which was nasty, right? This is on the biggest social media platform on planet Earth. And I kind of laughed it off for a long time. But then loads of women started writing to me. One woman wrote to me saying she bought my cream for her daughter who was suffering from cancer, her young daughter. And I thought, I'm really getting upset about this now. And then my son had got his childminder Lorraine's phone, so her Facebook notifications would come up. And he was on his own one night. Steve was working with Lorraine. It said, Miriam O'Callaghan has been fired for being drunk. And I was actually so annoyed. And then my mum was coming out of mass. And some woman said to her, isn't Miriam foolish to give her a job to set up a face cream? And my mother rang me and said, you never told me you're setting up a face cream. So in the end, I took a case against Facebook. I used to read in the paper, how brave of this person to take on Facebook. And then I realised it was me and I'd panic because I only have one thing I own in the world. It's my home. And I could have lost it.
But you won the case.
I sure did win the case. And it went on for years. And interestingly,
what do you think of the fact that Facebook actually let that go on for years?
In the end, credit to them. They sorted it.
Belatedly.
I think initially, they hoped I would go away. I think they assumed I wouldn't take the chance of taking on Facebook because there's only me, small me. But actually, I was so annoyed, Matt, for other people because if I found it difficult, imagine if somebody else was being treated like that online. I'm delighted I took the case, actually. And interestingly, they often say they can't control what's on social media. Those posts, Matt, have never reappeared. So I always think there should be far more regulation of them.
I think that's a very good point. Listen, finish. I want to come back to RTE. And
yes.
I think, it's quite clear. You're very proud of having spent over 30 years in RTE working across television mainly, but also radio. You're greatly appreciative of all the people that you work with. But what do you think about where RTE stands amongst the Irish people at present? because the number of people paying their TV licences has fallen away dramatically. The government is having to subvent the station on top of the commercial revenue and TV advertising. There seems to be a perception as well amongst maybe media commentators, and I include myself in this, that there's a tardiness in coming to address structural changes in RT in the way that has happened in every other media organisation around the country. What do you think now of RT's role in Irish life, and has it changed significantly during your time in the way that it may now be diminished?
I hear you, Pat, and I understand where lots of people come from. But from my perspective, and I'm not in management, I don't manage the place, as you smile. Why are you smiling at me?
Well, you do have a husband in management, and I presume there is a certain degree of pillow talk about these things.
You must be joking. Joking apart, we never discuss work. I'm diverting. I'll go back to the question. We never discuss work. Never have and never will. And
why?
I've been working.
Why not? Because you've worked in things. You made brilliant TV documentaries together on
like
Charlie Hawley and Bertie
Productions,
which were actually benchmark documentaries, which I don't think have been repeated in RT since, up to that standard. But sorry, finish the point about work.
Yeah, but from my perspective, the programmes I present, I only find people very supportive, Matt. And I'm being serious about that. Like, as you say, maybe they're never going to come up and be rude to me anyway. And by and large, they just come up and say, do you really have 8 children? And did you have them yourself? I go, yeah. But no, from my point of view, I think I turn it on its head and say the reason a lot of Irish people talk about RT a lot is because they feel ownership and part of it. And there's lots of things wrong with the organisation. But by and large, you saw it even recently with The Traitors or even The Late Late Show last Friday, kind of whopping audience of like 52% share. That doesn't happen in many places in the world, Matt. So you're talking to the wrong person. I love RT.
I know you do. I knew you weren't going to say anything bad about RT.
No, but it's not the best negotiating tactic.
No, but I suppose my point is, it's about its relevance to the public as to whether as...
Well, I just gave you those audiences.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, at the end of the day, they can write as much criticism as they want, and a lot of criticism is merited, certainly during the scandal. But right now, I just gave you an idea of what people watched or watched me on The Late Late and John Bon Jovi, obviously. But
it was more for you than John Bon Jovi.
But there was a massive audience, Matt.
One last thing. If I was to bring Mario Rosenstock in through the side door.
I love Mario.
What would you say to him?
Genuinely. But can I just say, I never say that word, Mario, but
you actually
genuinely.
You hadn't said it once throughout the interview so far. Yeah,
but I don't. But Mario, I like little kids in schools would go to me genuinely. I'm going, oh my God. But I love Mario.
Miriam, life, work, everything. Miriam McCallum, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Matt.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.